This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
FUBAR Radio presents.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Politics on FUBAR.
Good afternoon and welcome to Politics on FUBAR. I'm Asa Bennett and it is quite an exciting time to present the politics show now, given that we are on the eve of the election, decision time nears, and obviously the one differential factor on what's going to decide the result, if it's going to be a hung parliament perhaps, that Jeremy Corbyn might be able to cobble a coalition together that will propel him into power, or whether it be a Tory majority, the one crucial factor is what young people think. Well, you know, given that the pollsters, they have all these differing outlooks, perhaps, you know, that Jeremy Corbyn might win, he might do badly, we'll have to see. The one question is they have different estimates on youth turnout. And so with that in mind, our topic this week is young voters and how what their decision process will be. Will they engage in this election or not? And so, as well as that, to explore this theme further, I'll have an extended interview with Captain Scar, well, Jake Painter, precisely the founder of the band behind the song, which, you know, behind the song which has electrified social media by capturing sort of the youth's anger with Theresa May, Liar Liar, the 2017 general election special. And so we'll be talking to him about his piece, which has hit rocked the charts. I think it's the last time I checked, it was at number 2, and you know the BBC can't really play it due to impartiality guidelines and you know Ofcom rules, but we can. And finally, we'll have a debate with exploring the week's question: will celeb culture and media hype influence young voters enough to affect the outcome of the election? And be sure, as you're listening to the programme, to tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email politics@fubarradio.com with your thoughts if you'd like to comment on anything, and we'll weave it into the show as we go on. And indeed, as the final days have approached, it's a curious election campaign because Theresa May launched it, framing it as a matter of you know, the Brexit process going wrong, perhaps. In her view, she said that the EU and the parties at home, Liberal Democrats, Labour, etc., wanted to frustrate her from getting a good deal. And so for that, she wanted a commanding mandate from the British people so she could hammer it through and make sure Britain leaves the European Union in style. And indeed, the subject line has changed since then, though obviously due to the very, very tragic attacks in London Bridge and Manchester, the themes like security have had to come to the agenda, which Labour have very much leapt on to try and talk about things like police cuts instead, in that they pointed out this figure they've hammered home very much indeed over the last few days of 20,000 police officers you know, being cut, and the reduction in the police force, they would argue, being sort of indicative of the weakening security under the government and due to austerity and public services. Is that sort of ideal message they want to push? Conversely, the Tories would point out then that they'd be able to just point and laugh at Jeremy Corbyn and say, why would we take lectures from you? Look at your history of, you know, larking around with all sorts of, you know, shifty ne'er-do-well folk, you know, sort of suspected IRA of terrorists, Hamas, Hezbollah, you name it. They found an extremist who once shared a platform with Jeremy Corbyn and all the rest. And meanwhile, they have been able to do the same for John McDonnell, who has said that we should be sort of honouring the bombs and bullets of the IRA, and Diane Abbott, the Shadow Home Secretary, who has had a bit of a difficult time, actually, as of late, which has meant that she, sort of given a sort of brain fade, to put it politely, that she had in a recent interview about Labour and security, and that she stumbled over her words, wasn't quite sure about the contents of a report into security in London, commissioned by Sadiq Khan, by Lord Harris. And as a result, people sort of thought, was she really up to it? Now, oddly, she's taken a sort of temporary leave of absence as Shadow Home Secretary, and she's been replaced by someone called Lynn Brown. Obviously, you know, some people have raised an eyebrow about this apparent illness, given that Diane, she sort of missed a key vote on the Brexit process due to, she claimed, a very serious migraine coming on. But nonetheless, I'd just like to say we all would wish her well indeed with a good, swift recovery. Anyway, back onto business. Given the election campaign and how I was saying earlier that the key differential is going to be sort of young voters, will they engage or not? It's interesting, this, because we've taken a poll on how you're all thinking about this election, and it doesn't fill me with huge optimism about how engaged young people are, in a sense, because we asked, you know, will celeb culture and media hype influence young voters? Will they be affected? How will it affect the election outcome? And about half of you sort of said, yes, you know, you're engaged, Jezza and JME forever, and it's sort of sadly, then a similar half has said, no, you either still can't be fucked or, oh, shit, I forgot to register. Those are the answers you were giving. And it's interesting that, because then research does suggest recently from sort of very authoritative numbers coming out that about sort of half, again, of people who are under 30 are estimated to be, you know, interested in voting or certain to vote in this election, which kind of makes you then think, you know, if Jeremy Corbyn wants to have this sort of youth quake, as people sort of call it, you know, is it going to happen or is it just going to be lackluster, a damp script? We'll have to see. Nonetheless, it was my pleasure to explore this shortly with Matteo Bergamini from Shout Out UK. He's very passionate about getting young people involved in politics. But first, let us remind ourselves of that moment when Theresa May called the general election.
I have just chaired a meeting of the Cabinet where we agreed that the government should call a general election to be held on the 8th of June. Last summer, after the country voted to leave the European Union, Britain needed certainty, stability, and strong leadership. And since I became Prime Minister, the government has delivered precisely that. And as we look to the future, the government has the right plan for negotiating our new relationship with Europe. At this moment of enormous national significance, there should be unity here in Westminster. But instead, there is division. The country is coming together, but Westminster is not. In recent weeks, Labour have threatened to vote against the final agreement we reach with the European Union. The Liberal Democrats have said they want to grind the business of government to a standstill. The Scottish National Party say they will vote against the legislation that formally repeals Britain's membership of the European Union. And unelected members of the House of Lords have vowed to fight us every step of the way.
FUBAR Radio presents
The Hannah Whitten Show.
Today I have Scarlett with me.
I mean, the polls are closing, but also like...
Oh, really?
I remember 2015. We were so hopeful.
Yeah. I'm like scared. Like, I feel like a person who's been through a lot of horrible relationships that have just absolutely damaged them, and now they're going into a new one and they're just scared.
Yeah, it's like, can we not just be single for a bit?
Yeah, because like, I'm so terrified. Like, I don't want to get my heart broken again. Like what happened last year, like so many disappointments. I don't want to go through that again.
Every Wednesday,
The Hannah Whitten Show
from 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
And welcome back. It's Asa Bennett here, and it is my pleasure to welcome Matteo Bergamini to the studio and to talk about young voters. And he's from the organisation Shout Out UK, which is a multi-award-winning independent youth news platform that provides young people with the tools necessary to engage in politics. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, you were looking at the... Well, you were remarking before we went live again that the poll we've taken with people sort of saying, oh, shit, I forgot to register, you know, sort of, oh, dear. Like, how are you feeling about this, seeing our results that people... There's a mixed... outlook to as we look towards the election, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it is. It's, I think it was on your polls currently about 20, just over 20% or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember now. But yeah, it's a little bit disheartening because there's been so much drive towards getting young people engaged to vote and so forth. And it's like everyone's sort of really gearing up and so forth. And then it's like you forget to register. It's like getting ready for a party and then not turning up. It's like, why?
No, oh, indeed. I mean, why do you think they forgot to turn up then? Is it that it was organised too early for them as a deadline? Were they wrong-footed? Or did they just not even get the invite?
I think a lot of people didn't. I think a lot of it is didn't get the invite, didn't quite understand how to register, what to do. And the government recently changed it from sort of, you know, households being able to register to individuals having to register. I think that had a huge impact on specifically sort of my generation, young people. And I think that had a massive impact, had a massive effect.
Okay, because then what else would you think has been having an effect on this? Because there are a couple of stories I think you want to sort of highlight, and I had an interesting one here from The Guardian. Who will decide the UK's future? Warning as funding for youth vote campaigns slashed. I mean, would you say that's maybe crippled the ability to really get the word out to people?
I would have said that at the beginning when the article came out, but if you look at the efforts of organisations like, you know, the British Youth Council, Bite the Ballot, etc., they have done incredible work.
Your own organisation included, perhaps.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to sort of plug myself in there a little bit with Shout Out UK. Yeah. You know, and I think the youth organisation, the youth sector, has done huge amounts for the little amount that's been given by government actually to do this. So I think... Yes, it was crippled, and maybe, you know, we could have done a mild load more. if we were given the funding that we actually needed. But I think they've done incredible work, and we've done incredible work to actually get awareness out there in sort of very, very unconventional ways. If you look at By the Ballots, constant sort of stream of weird and fascinating artworks. So I don't know if it's had the impact that The Guardian originally intended in May. When it first came out,
a cynical person might wonder if there's a sort of voter suppression, perhaps, you know, of sorts. You wouldn't be thinking that necessarily, but then it follows perhaps that if young people aren't so engaged, I mean, they tend to be more sort of liberal, Labour leaning in a sense. So it's better for the government, no?
Yeah. And if we were down to go down the road of sort of conspiracy theories, and they're always fun to theorise.
I mean, you go into any corner of Twitter and you'll find this theory.
Well, exactly. I mean, 90% of the internet is conspiracy theories or other things that we probably shouldn't mention on air. But I mean, there is a hint on that, because, you know, the majority of young people will naturally swing Labour.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's that idea that if you're younger, you tend to vote Labour, and then when you get older, you tend to vote Conservative when you become a lot more cynical.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, I don't know if it's true. I personally don't think it is true. I just think we're living in a different time. And I think a lot of young people, when we sort of grow up, we're not just going to casually start voting Conservative. I think the idea being that you get a lot more cynical as you get older, and you think, well, forget everyone else, I'm just going to think of myself.
I mean, because I've heard there's two phrases that stick in my mind. One that was, someone saying, you know, if you're not a socialist when you're under 30, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative when you're over 30, you have no head. And someone else, I think, saying Margaret Thatcher, perhaps, that what makes someone a conservative is when they have to start paying tax. I mean, do you sort of recognise any of this, or is it all just
rubbish?
Yeah.
I mean, I recognise it. I don't generally subscribe to it. I think a lot of what we're seeing with all that rhetoric is that it's starting to break down, because, you know, this idea that the Conservative Party is better with the money, Labour Party are good at spending the money, and all this kind of stuff, and what the Labour Party and Conservatives used to represent back then, I think it's all being broken down, and reality is the parties don't, you know, represent this stuff. A really crucial example is the Conservative parties have massively increased our national debt, while at the same time selling off a load of our assets, and you sort of think, well, when you're selling stuff, surely you should have more money, so something doesn't quite add up there. So I think a lot of these kind of old notions of what these two parties or what these two ideals used to have, I think they just are starting to break down a little bit. And people just don't see it anymore.
I mean, obviously, politics is changing in a sense in that way. Although some people might say we're actually still remaining in a kind of two-party political system, given the failure of minor parties to cut through. Well, they've been struck by this article from the New Statesman talking about the strange neglect of political education and how to revive it. I mean, do you think then maybe people just aren't being taught to be engaged in that way? Is it the fault of the syllabus that they...
100%. I mean, this is sort of our sort of bread and butter. We... shameless plug, run a political literacy course in schools to give young people the tools necessary to engage. So learning about voting system, how to engage in local and national politics, etc. And I think one of the major issues is that we're not taught any of this in schools, you know. And without that, you sort of hit 18 when you're able to register to vote, and you suddenly think, well, actually, you know, society tells us that we should have all this knowledge and information rained down upon us as if we're sort of having this epiphany of information. When in reality, of course, that doesn't work. And what we end up doing is fumbling through life and eventually picking up things that we know because either we've been in contact with someone who's told us something that's half true or whatever else. We're getting all of our information from somewhere else. God forbid any of the red top papers. And we don't have any sort of grounding of political education because it just doesn't exist in the curriculum. Now, we had citizenship. And we all know how that went. And I think a major issue with apathy among young people is that we're not taught any of this stuff, so we don't know it. So when you have campaign or voter registration drives that try and get young people engaged, they're fighting an uphill struggle because it's like, you need to vote. Why? And it's all that stuff should have been answered in education. It shouldn't be you hitting 18.
It's tempting to say that, although I would put to you the question, surely why are older people so much better at voting then?
I think one is because, like what I said, you know, you hit 18 and suddenly you don't have any of this information. And as you get older, you experience...
But they'd have been taught similar things. They'd have been taught, you know, Queen and Country, you know, Britain is there, and the history. They'd have similar knowledge of history, you might imagine. Or has the syllabus changed so much that it's got worse? They are less engaged, have less reason to sort of care these days.
I would say it's two things. I'd say one, it's because... when you get older, you have spent more time on this planet, so naturally you will have more experiences which will push you towards voting or towards engaging in society because you see how it affects you in real terms. if you're not educated in school, you won't have that at the beginning, so you have to learn that as you go. The second thing I also think is that generations prior to us lived in different times. You know, you have you know, if you talk about my grandparents, for example, they remember the war or the aftermath of the war and why it's so important to have a democracy that works and people engage in it. Secondly, my parents, for example, remember, you know, the Berlin Wall, remember the Cold War, remember these kind of massive political movements which didn't really exist when I was growing up. And I think that is what made people engage more from those generations. And what you're getting from sort of my generation and so forth is that politics wasn't this big fight between the left or the right, which we used to have, or wasn't anything drastic or any drastic change happening. Maybe now things will change with Corbyn and obviously Trump within the US. But I think that has a massive impact on why a lot of young people just don't see the relevance of politics.
And
it
obviously
doesn't affect them directly.
Recent history has seen that, you know, Kleckmania, for example, young people were keen on him, then they didn't really bother. And then sort of, we look at Miliband, he was polling better among young people, and then he lost again. I mean, the final question, are you optimistic that things are going to change this election?
Yes, they're not. You know, I don't know if Jeremy Corbyn will win. I'm a little bit of an optimist, so I think Labour might be able to stretch it if young people do turn out to vote. That's obviously a massive if. I do want to say that they will turn out to vote, but history proves me wrong. So let's see. I mean, I'm optimistic because the thing is, even if Labour loses, what Corbyn and Labour and these kind of things represent is that politics has suddenly become a hell of a lot more interesting.
Absolutely.
And because of that, people will become more engaged, I think.
Well, that's great to see. I'm sure the results will be fascinating nonetheless. Thank you so much for your time, Matteo.
Thank you.
And so, coming up next, obviously, first off, if you're interested in that, by the way, feel free to tweet at Fubar Radio or email at politics@fubarradio.com. But coming up next, we'll be having an in-depth interview with Jake Painter of Captain Scar, the band behind the song called Liar Liar, for this general election about Theresa May. Now, if you haven't heard it before, we can play the song for you right now.
We have a mission to make Britain a country that works, not for the privileged and not for the few, but for every one of our citizens. And together, we, the Conservative Party, can build a better Britain.
She's a liar, liar. She's a liar.
That stability to be able to deal with the issues that the country is facing. I'm not going to be calling a snap election.
She's a liar, liar. She's a liar, liar. No, you can't trust her. No, 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 no. She's a liar, liar. She's a liar, liar. No, you can't trust her. No, 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 no.
I want to have a government that doesn't think that fascism is where it's at. 'Cause putting the mother of all bombs into tiny hands can go very wrong. I'm hoping for a future for my child where she can grow and feel inspired. Do everything in your power you can. People rising up is the only plan.
When future generations look back at this time, they will judge us not only by the decision that we made, but by what we made of that decision. They will see that we shaped them a brighter future. They will know that we built them a better Britain.
She's a liar, liar. She's a liar, liar. She's a liar, liar.
And that was Liar Liar, the general election anthem, if you've been listening to it on the internet and beyond. Obviously, you can't hear it on the BBC because guidelines mean they can't play it, but we can play it right here, and we just did. And nonetheless, it is my pleasure to welcome the brains behind the song, Jake Painter of the Captain Scar, this very same band. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, obviously, it's quite clear sort of the message of the song, perhaps. I mean, and indeed, Theresa May, the Prime Minister, the subject of it, had commented on the song the other day, saying she was, I believe, not happy with the contents and, you know, explaining that, well, you know, you wouldn't like to be called that, would you, sort of thing. She said it in an interview with Newsbeat, I believe. I mean, how do you feel on knowing you've incurred the Prime Minister's displeasure?
Well, she might like the song, but I think I can speak for the whole band and everyone that's probably downloaded it, is that there's a lot of people that don't like Theresa May's policies. There's a whole generation of young people in this country who have been just thoroughly let down over the last 7 years. There are so many reasons to not like Conservative policy and not trust the word they say. So I'm glad we've managed to get a response, but even more glad that we've got the message out wider.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I mean, the BBC weren't very pleased themselves. I think you did an interview on the Victoria Derbyshire show where they were sort of very keen for you not to sort of talk about it too much, I believe. I mean, what was that like?
Well, I think the broader point with this is that this ludicrous idea that you know, we get to an election and all of a sudden we've got these very strict rules when so much research shows that across the last few years there's been clear and consistent bias. Media Reform have published a great study showing that the bias against Corbyn has been pretty overwhelming. LSE have done a great study on it. Sunny Hundal wrote the other day in The Independent a really nice piece about why these Ofcom rules are just really not worth the paper they're written on. So you can't have this bias throughout the year and then suddenly get to election time and say, hang on a minute, we've got these really strict rules, we're going to sort of forget what's been happening for over the last period.
I mean, I suppose they have been very nervous about these things. So I remember in the past, after Margaret Thatcher died, they didn't want to play that song, like sort of Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, because of similar sort of concerns. Although, if I can ask about the sort of substance of the song,
of course, yeah.
Perhaps. Obviously, you know, Liar, Liar, as we know, and you point out sort of the snap election, sort of U-turn, as it were, among other things. I mean, young conservatives listening might then say to you, but hang on, you know, she explained why she changed her mind. That wasn't a lie, it may have been true at the time, and now something else is true, no?
You know, the message of the song is that you can't trust Theresa May, and just look at the record. If I've had so many people from the disabled community contact the band and just say, you know, what this government have done is absolutely appalling. And for me, it's the message out that they're saying they're a government for everybody, but they're not. They're a government for the rich, making policies for the rich. It's unacceptable.
But then if we talk about political lying, what about something different, perhaps? Like, let's say Labour moderates, you know, sort of Sadiq Khan and whoever. They all have on record as saying, you know, Jeremy Corbyn should stand down, his leadership is untenable, and now, you know, Sadiq Khan has endorsed him to be Prime Minister, it seems, and others have, you know, joined his shadow cabinet. Some might say they've changed their mind. You know, others might say, hang on, they're lying through their teeth, surely.
Well, you know, if that's the way that people feel, then, you know, they're perfectly willing to, they can go out and start a band and write a song about it. And it might not catch straight away. But that is one of the things we're so pleased about, is that I think so many people have downloaded it and viewed it, really, because it's caught the sentiment of people in the country. And I think people are just so frustrated with what's going on.
But then obviously, the last few years have seen a curious challenge trying to turn that frustration into action. If I remember rightly, your first iteration of this song was 2010, sort of David Cameron being in the firing line. And obviously, to put it bluntly, that didn't stop him getting in.
It didn't stop him getting in, but things have gotten worse in the last 7 years. The NHS is being run into the ground. The cuts to social care, police, schools have gotten worse. Young people's hopes and aspirations are at an all-time low. So yeah, the original song, of course, didn't stop him getting in. In fact, when I wrote the original song, he was already in. He was already in. But you know, really the point of this band and in particular the song is to get the message out to as big an audience as possible and get these points across that we make in the song.
I mean, because I mean, do you think that it's just appealing then to people already believe in the sort of Jeremy Corbyn's message then? Because obviously the challenge with campaigns is, you know, how do you persuade those who aren't quite paying much attention, the disaffected?
Well, it's not a pro-Corbyn song. It doesn't tell you to go and vote out for any particular party. It's got an anti-Tory message. I think if you look at who downloads music in the top 40, they're certainly mostly the younger generation. I don't know how many of them have heard it and changed their mind or anything like that. But I do know that it's, for me, the important thing is getting young people to go out and vote. There's great data showing that young people want the Tories out. There's also great data saying that they don't tend to vote in mass. So part of the message behind this song is go out and vote.
I mean, it's also fascinating then comparing music for, sort of anti-Tory, anti-May. Obviously, they said, with Margaret Thatcher as Prime Minister, sort of comedy and sort of music was really revived at that point, the sort of punk movement against her and all the rest. In the same way, if you think about music now, I mean, the closest to a kind of music tune that went anywhere from right-wing parties was the UKIP Calypso, which I think Mike Reed did, in a sense. Why do you think music is more vibrant when it's kind of anti-Tory, more sort of at least progressive alliance style in motive?
I think most musicians are probably, certainly in the sort of more, I'm a freelance musician, so I do all sorts of things aside from Captain Scar, and lots of my colleagues are from a very wide range of backgrounds, and I think that if you've experienced kind of real life, I think that probably you end up seeing the gritty reality.
Living
for example,
on the breadline.
Well, my fellow colleagues, I'm not saying we're all kind of living on the breadline or living in poverty, but it's a struggle living in London, being a musician or doing all sorts of things in London is a struggle. Rents, mortgages, all those things are very, high. It's very hard to pay for those sort of things. So I think, people see the reality in a day-to-day life of actually how difficult it is, and that probably lends them to think, hang on a minute, this isn't working for me.
I mean, did you see the last night's Corbyn rally that he held up in I think it was sort of Birmingham, it was beamed everywhere. I mean, there's a curious virality in the Corbyn campaign now, and that sort of, I'm sure you've seen the websites like Evolve Politics and The Canary that I think have been sharing your song as well. I mean, why do you think he sort of struck such a chord in that sense? I mean, and also, are you personally sympathetic towards him, or are you sort of, a green or something else?
Well, why there's so many people going to Corbyn's rallies is clearly people are just really dissatisfied with what's going on, and I think to a certain extent there's a groundswell of people. The media hate Corbyn. They absolutely hate him. He's had terrible coverage. But I think if you're a sort of regular person living in England, working hard, life is really tough at the moment. And I think that's why people see him as a beacon of hope. As to where I'm voting, I've always kept my own voting intentions private. But
we can rule out the Tories.
Yeah, you can rule out the Tories. And UKIP,
of course. Well, in that case, it's interesting because obviously, looking forward to the future. I mean, I was talking earlier in the show about how, despite the sort of Jeremy Corbyn's appeal to young people and how he's polling better with them, it's not looking certain like they're necessarily going to go sort of charge down to the polling booth on Thursday and get him in or sort of clobber the Tories. I mean, what's your message in that sense to young people listening now? I mean,
the most important thing across the next 24 hours is to go out and vote, and not just young people. There's been a great campaign to phone your grandparents, and I'm going to be speaking to my gran tonight. She's actually a Labour voter, but it's so important. Going out and voting is actually what counts. You can write all the songs in the world, and they can get to the top of the charts, but at the end of the day, if you don't vote, your voice isn't going to count.
That's definitely a good message, and obviously one I'd agree with. And because if not, obviously the disenfranchisement we're going to risk seeing over the next few years will be huge, particularly with Brexit. I mean, because that's my final question, perhaps. The Liberal Democrats, Labour, and all that like to say, the British people sold a lie in that sense. So do you feel that maybe in a few years' time you might be having to do a sort of Brexit-themed liar, liar song, if not? I mean, what's the idea in the pipeline in the next few years, So obviously, if it's Prime Minister Corbyn, you wouldn't have any reason to do a liar, liar song, you'd think.
We'll disband the band and live in utopia. going forward, one of the things that we've been talking about for a long time is, I must just mention actually, the People's Assembly Against Austerity, who are an amazing campaign group who have really helped promote the record. And we've talked in sort of general terms about maybe making a wider platform for other artists. But in the very near future, we've got a gig tonight in Brixton, the Brixton Jam. It's the Liar Liar launch gig. And we're filming a massive crowd sing-along, which will go out on our YouTube channel next week. So if you've got nothing else to do tonight and you're not canvassing, come along and have a get your voice heard.
All right, I'm sure people will be coming in droves tonight then. So thank you very much, Jake.
My pleasure.
Sort of that was Captain Scar, sort of, I was about to say himself, but you know, the man behind Captain Scar.
There's quite a few of us behind
One of many. So we are a team sort of for the many, not the few, in that you might say. But anyway, thank you very much and have a good afternoon.
My pleasure.
And so next up, we're going to have a studio debate on young voters. We'll be joined in the studio by Fraser Myers, contributor to Spiked Online, Lorna Greenwood of 38 Degrees, and Richard Cooper, senior writer at joe.co.uk. To answer this question, will celeb culture and media hype influence young voters enough to affect the outcome of the election? But first, let's hear from the opposition leader, Jeremy Corbyn.
It's time to step up. And when I say step up, I mean register to vote. Claim your future. Barely 40%. Of 18 to 24-year-olds normally turn out to vote. The Conservatives are more than happy with this state of affairs. Apathy and resignation will secure them seats on election day.
Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party have been widely supporting celebrities during this year's general election campaign, including JME.
Spawn in the ends, move food in the ends, and that's the new meaning of spawn trapping. She sells seashells on the seashore. No, he sells weed scales on a P4. Yeah, he sells details, swiping galore.
Stormzy.
You're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size clothes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the U. Man, know that I kick up the U.
Rag and Bone Man.
But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.
Akala.
Another hearse roll up slow. Carry one more poor lost soul. Carry them things every single day, cause it makes him feel safe. Cause he carry on them way, school face. Love the game, rapping his estate. Talk tough, look straight in his face.
But will celeb culture and media hype influence young voters enough to affect the outcome of the election?
Indeed, that is the big question we are hoping to answer this afternoon. And for that, I have a distinct pleasure to welcome Fraser Myers of Spiked Online. Hello.
Hello.
Lorna Greenwood of, Use Your Vote campaign, 38 Degrees, which is basically an organisation that is non-party aligned and aims to sort of encourage engagement through sort of petitions and just being sort of leading campaigns, if I may put it that way. Hello.
That's correct.
And finally, Rich Cooper of joe.co.uk, entertainment platform for sort of leading platform, if anything, for men on lifestyle and culture and all the rest. Hello.
Hello.
So, if you've all been listening to the show, sort of, we've been keen to talk about youth engagement. I mean, Fraser, if I can come to you first, you know, sort of how are you feeling about the prospects of having this, you know, people might say, youth quake, you know, propelling Corbyn into power?
I absolutely hate the sort of, you know, youth kind of the attempt to sort of mobilise youth as a kind of stage army for either Jeremy Corbyn or against Brexit. I find it quite patronising, actually. I don't think that young voters are this distinct group. I think that young voters share interests with people across the age spectrum, and you know, I think it's really a sort of collapse of actual politics that is causing people to use demographics as a way of mobilising voters.
And then, Rich, do you agree? Is it the politicians' fault, or, you know, was it young people's fault for not caring enough?
I mean, I agree that I don't think you can really use youth vote as a general term. Like, if you look, the generally sort of agreed demographic is sort of 18 to 30. If you look at the differences in how you feel when you're 18 versus how you feel when you're 30, they're massive. Like, when I was 18, I was worried about going to uni, getting drunk, and just having a great time, basically. I'm 27 now, I'm getting pretty close to 30. I'm on Zoopla looking at houses thinking, Christ, I can't afford any of these, what am I going to do? So it's not necessarily useful to look at them as like a one-size-fits-all group to answer a political question.
Interesting. Because then, Lorna, with 38 Degrees, the sort of petitions that you have there, what interests young people? I mean, do you find it, is it all just tuition fees, or is there a broader range that they can be sort of excited about?
Well, I think a couple of good points have already been made about not suggesting that young people are one homogenised block. we find at 38 Degrees that people, young people support different political parties across the political spectrum. I think there are a number of issues which come up more frequently, and those of course are likely to be tuition fees and things like house prices. But what we also find is that young people are just on the whole incredibly engaged in politics, and that isn't what is the image which is often portrayed in the media.
That's interesting. So yes, actually, when you're talking about youth engagement, some people look at student politics, say, and you know, might laugh to themselves, you know, in student unions, thinking, God, you know, how dare they take positions on Palestine and, you know, the Middle East process, you know, look at them pontificating and all that sort of stuff. I mean, Rich, do you think that student politics, then, it's a really weird thing for someone to do, or should they be really saying, you know, hang on, it's good to be political when you're a student, you know, it's great, you know, kudos to that.
I mean, it's definitely a good thing, like, yeah. I mean, you're young, you're possibly angry, there's a lot of things to learn about the world at this stage. Like, I remember getting wound up about some very strange things when I was at uni, and now I'm sort of levelled out a bit more, but it definitely got me engaged, it got me thinking, and, you know, as time goes on, like, your views change, like, things soften. Like, there's a thing on YouGov that says that for every 10 years older a voter gets, the more likely they are to vote Tory, and the less likely they are to vote Labour, so, you know, you might feel very passionately about something when you're at university, but as time goes on, like, your views change, your situation changes, and your priorities change. So,
do you think you've become more right wing as you've grown up?
I don't know if I've become more right wing. I think
the cost of a pint.
Is that right wing?
Yeah, I don't know.
You want to, it's fairly universal. So, policy,
I mean, to be fair, UKIP, I think, sorry to sort of mention their policy, they, I think, want to have 20% off fish and chips. So if anything, you know, cheaper night out with them, apparently. So, I mean, that's a populism, you know, through and through. I don't know about anyone offering cheap pints. I imagine that would be a whole new level of vote winner. But sort of nonetheless, you know, Fraser. Do you think that there's how do you actually sort of get young people interested in politics? Because over the last few years, I mean, there's so many tales of, you know, the Clegg mania, Miller fandom, I think it was, and it all just collapses.
I think the thing is that these sort of things like Miller fandom, Clegg mania, and even, you know, grime for Corbyn at this election, these are media inventions. They're fun stories that, you know, people in the media bubble like to talk about.
Sorry,
I don't
about
think
that.
No, it's I'm not against it. I think it's all good fun. But will it translate into votes? I don't think so. I think young people actually, you know, if we want to get young people engaged in politics, then they need to be something on the table that is genuinely inspiring. And I don't think the sort of two dead main parties actually offer that. You know, for all the supposed excitement around Corbyn, I think it's, you know, a rehashing of a lot of old hits from the 80s. There isn't really a new politics on offer, and maybe that will get young people.
But I mean, how do you really inspire them? Because there's surely a paradox where maybe there are smaller parties that answer this, and obviously we will actually be interviewing representatives from the smaller parties later, like the Pirate Party and the Young People's Party, but then they won't get any attention, so people don't really know they're there.
I suppose maybe you could turn it around and say, what the hell are young people doing, and why aren't they getting out there and shaping politics in the way in which they want to, you know, in the way in which they want to see the future, instead of relying on these sort of dead parties that, you know, are not going to serve their interests, or they don't serve the interests of anyone, quite frankly, not just young
people. I mean, Lorna, how can politics serve young people's interests more then?
Well, I think what we've seen, and I would disagree with Fraser slightly, is that when there have been moments of real political change, and also where an option has been put up of true sort of vision and excitement, young people come to politics in their droves. And so I think it's really a challenge for the main political parties to offer young people a meaningful way to get involved in politics. And really that's what 38 Degrees does, whether that's by taking part in campaigns which can actually change the political landscape, or whether it's feeling part of a movement so that they actually feel that this political world is as welcoming to them as it is to other people.
I mean, I'm sorry to be sort of an utter sort of devil's advocate bore, call me whatever you want, but with 38 Degrees, there's a stereotype with sort of petition websites that perhaps that you write them, you think you've saved the world, you've, you know, combated global warming, you defeated Trump, but he's still there. Global warming is still going on. They change nothing, some people might say. I mean, what petitions have you guys been up to that have actually changed things, that got results?
So actually, there are many examples I can think of in recent times.
Your
where
best three.
Petitions.
Your best,
yeah. So one that's happened quite recently is we campaigned to stop INEOS, the chemical company, fracking in Sherwood Forest, and that petition got over a quarter of a million people signing it, and as a result, they've changed their plans. And if you're at all interested in environmental campaigning, you know how difficult it is to get oil companies and chemical companies to change. So that's a real that really demonstrates impact. And then we also, so we run big national campaigns, but also there's an opportunity for individuals and young people as well to set up campaigns that they run themselves. Hmm. And there's been a number of examples where those campaigns have been successful. So, for example, we had one recently, which was a boy called Lewis, who was aged 12, and he set up a campaign to save his library in Cornwall and was successful. Hmm. But I would also say that 38 Degrees isn't just a petition site. Often people come to us through petitions. That might be the first way they hear about us.
Yes.
But they often end up doing so much more. And I think what we've been doing in the general election is a key example of that. In two constituencies, we've got massive ground campaigns to increase people to turn out to vote. And that means that people who haven't necessarily been involved in politics at all before are going on knocking on people's doors, encouraging them to vote. And if you think about the journey that it takes to get someone from not being politically engaged to doing that, I think that's what 38 Degrees is bringing to the political environment, and I think that's what political parties need to think more about.
I think obviously some of them are trying to increase their engagement. I mean, obviously momentum has sprung up to help sort of Jeremy Corbyn. And sort of, Rich, do you think that's a great movement in that way? It's a sort of grassroots activism at work, or?
Oh, it's pretty risky to go around saying momentum's a great thing, isn't it? I don't want to get lynched on Twitter.
Try me. Sort of, no, I mean, but where do you sort of stand in the sense of what the parties are really doing? Because obviously, I mean, the Tories, I don't think, well, they've got the activists. You know, maybe they, members, I think, might be sort of dying faster than they can replace them. But, you know, nonetheless, they're struggling to appeal to young people in that way.
The Tories, I mean, well, they don't have to, do they? Like,
well, they had to shut down their youth wing recently, sort of after all
yeah,
sorts.
So. Like, young people aren't interested in the Tories at the moment. Like,
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Okay. Well, I'll put it another way then. The Tories don't have to rely on young people. Like, they're by far and away the most popular party with, you know, voters over 60. They don't have to rely on young people coming to them, so they don't really need that
but
side of it.
I'm also not sure that's true either.
Oh, go on.
So, well, my challenge is that we said that we shouldn't homogenise young people into one block, and I think in amongst young people, there'll be a variety of political beliefs, and some of those will be conservative and will be proud to be that. And also, I think the important thing about democracy is, I think most people would agree that young people deserve to be represented, and that's why it's important to get them voting. But it's also important for the democracy of our country. Habit is vote forming, so if people don't start voting early, they're less likely to do it in future. And all political parties need people to be voting in the future, so we all depend on young people getting involved to protect our democracy.
Yeah, it's interesting because if I can, I have to sort of start bringing this to a close. And so, in that case, if I could ask you all for your sort of final points on this theme of young people, and maybe just to sort of remind ourselves of what we're looking at. There's research from, I think it's ICM, that said about 60% of young people are set to sort of vote tomorrow. The National Centre for Economic and Social Research, from John Curtis's lot, they put it about 50% in that way. And so, it's not looking too sort of bright and shiny for, you know, young people being involved. I mean, Fraser, what would you have to say amid all this debate?
I think one of the strangest things is the idea that young people, are, as you said, are all progressive. But it really worries me that there are lots of older people trying to appeal to young people to save us from the Tories or save us from Brexit. And
do you think there are some shy Mayites among the young people then?
Probably. I mean, I'd be shy if I was, you know, strongly
quietly saying
of her.
Strong and stable.
But the flip side to this, you know, adoration of the young is really the demonisation of the old, and that's something that's really been clear post Brexit. And I think it's been clear in the run up to this campaign that people talk about the selfish old people, you know, thinking of themselves as if they don't care about their kids and their grandkids. And, you know, we should be engaging old people and convincing older people. I mean, it's harder work because they have a bit more experience and they're probably a bit smarter than the young people, but, you know, they're worth convincing too.
I mean, Rich, what would you say then? Is your take-home lesson?
I would say that the polls can say anything you like. All that matters is whoever turns out on Thursday and actually gets on and does it. Like Jeremy Corbyn, I sort of agree with both points that were made earlier, that he doesn't necessarily represent anything new, but what he represents is something that's different. Whether that's good or bad for the Parliamentary Labour Party, then, you know, that's up to them. But it doesn't matter if you don't turn out and vote, so that's what you've got to do.
Of course. All right, and then finally, Lorna?
So 1 million young people have registered to vote, which I think is an exciting statistic. And so I would say that it seems like those tables might be starting to turn. And if it's true that hundreds of thousands of additional young people are going out to vote this election, then I think you don't want to miss out on that. You want to be part of that movement. And I also think that sometimes it's easy to feel like your vote doesn't mean anything. But actually, there's what happens in this election, but there's also what happens to politicians when they see huge numbers of people voting. And if those hundreds of thousands of people go out to vote, that means that young people are going to be taken much more seriously in politics. So I would say don't get FOMO and miss out. And also, your vote is meaningful.
Don't get FOMO, YOLO, you know, sort of go. I mean, I suddenly, oh no, God, I'm having nightmares now. I was thinking to end up as remembering Hillary Clinton saying, how about we Pokemon Go to the polls? And I mean, on that sort of massive cringeworthy joke, I do apologise. I shall wind up the debate. Thank you very much, Rich Cooper, Lorna Greenwood, and Fraser Myers. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so, coming up next, I will be speaking to Mark Chapman from the Pirate Party and Thomas Hall from the Young People's Party. Politics on FUBAR will be straight back with you after this short break.
In the 2015 general election, the gap between old voters and young voters was massive. 43% of 18 to 24-year-olds went to the polls, compared with 78% of people aged 65 or over, according to polls. Non-voters outnumbered the supporters of every single party in 2015. In 1992, the gap was just 12 percentage points. Then, 63% of 18 to 24-year-olds voted. The old aren't voting more now, but the young are voting far, far less. More than 2 million people have applied to vote in the month since Theresa May announced she wanted to hold a snap general election on the 8th of June. And the number of young people registering is the highest of any age group.
FUBAR Radio presents.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Politics on FUBAR.
Welcome back to Politics on FUBAR. I'm Asa Bennett, and if you've been enjoying this show, feel free to sort of weigh in with your thoughts on youth engagement, young voters. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email politics@fubarradio.com. Finally, and last and certainly not least, you know, my pleasure to invite some, you know, lesser known parties to the forum. I have in the studio Mark Chapman from the Pirate Party, candidate for Vauxhall. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
And finally, Thomas Hall from the Young People's Party, who is standing in Epping Forest. Hello.
Good afternoon.
And well, first off, I'm sort of interested. Well, gentlemen, with your platforms, you know, sort of the Pirate Party first, what is your elevator pitch to voters? Why should they vote for you? Is it just because you like Jack Sparrow? What is it? What is the differential for voting pirate?
So we're not a party about cutlasses and Jack Sparrow, unfortunately, for people. But no, we're very much a party of freedom, both freedom online as well as offline. We believe...
Like pirate radio in that sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So we were originated from the Swedish Pirate Party back in 2006, which came out of the recognition that actually in a digital world, in an interconnected internet world, we need to do politics differently, and we need to do politics in a way that works for this new medium. So we really believe in kind of a big focus on digital rights, on recognition of what your rights online should be, and particularly one of the things that's really caught people's attention in this election has been our campaign against warrantless blanket mass surveillance.
And is that your sort of doorstep campaign issue in a sense? Assuming you've been knocking on doors in Vauxhall then.
Yes, it's not the only thing, but it's the one that's seemingly been getting most traction with people in this election. I think the events in Manchester and London Bridge, people recognise that actually the way that we're responding to terror incidents isn't the right one. And actually, what do we need to be doing? And what can we be doing differently? And what should we be doing?
Interesting. And then, so Thomas, what's the Young People's Party sort of USP then?
Well, so you know, we see
every party is a Young People's Party, hip and happening, surely.
No. Well, maybe. But, no, so our elevator pitch really is about giving people higher disposable incomes and lower house prices. And I guess you know every election can be seen a bit like you know, sort of big poll where we all put down what the most important issue is for us. And you know, if your most important issue is digital rights, then vote for the Pirate Party. You know, if it's
is this a sort of alliance I hear?
I support, you know, the Pirate Party's goals. I don't think they're necessarily the most important thing, but you know, if you do, then that's the way that we get these messages across. But if you think that high house prices and the way that we're taxed on our productivity is the biggest issue for you, then vote for the Young People's Party.
But then, for your manifesto, there's one word that intrigues me, which you describe yourself as a Georgist party. What does that mean exactly?
Well, so there are a number of ways that people put ists and isms on things. The first chap who really made a very compelling and publicly known case for our policies, which are just briefly to replace taxation from productivity and put it onto ownership of monopoly, in principally land, were made by a chap called Henry George. And his book, when he wrote it at the end of the 19th century, I think was the best-selling US book ever. And he was almost elected mayor of New York, and he spawned a huge number of different movements around the world. And our policies really are very similar to his policies, and the issues that he was writing about are the same as they are today.
That's very interesting. Because then, Mark, when you're on the campaign trail, I take it you've been going to hustings and facing the other candidates. I mean, do you feel, are people coming up to you very much, or are they just listening to Labour's Kate Hoey and the Lib Dem chap? I've forgotten his name. But yeah, nonetheless, so are you getting much a good reception?
It's, you know, certainly it's been... Vauxhall's a particularly interesting seat in some ways, given the Kate Hoey Brexit dynamic.
Yes. Is the Pirate Party pro-Brexit or anti?
It's something that we don't have a particular view on. It's very, very much one that we felt you could take either way.
Fine.
And individual members took different views. And as a party, we recognise we're not going to be in government. We can't, you know, say we will do this. But we
doesn't stop the Liberal Democrats from trying.
Not for me to comment on other people's.
Fine, no, of course, approach, of course.
But you know, we very much say, look, whatever happens, these are the important things that we care about. And actually, in a modern world, geography matters less than it ever used to in terms of how we connect and trade and interact with the rest of the world. And we're very much, as I said, a party of freedom, and that means openness, and openness to the whole world. So it's kind of how do we do that?
And because obviously, with as a sort of going against the grain as a minor party, you know, people sort of might be tempted to scoff. But actually, there have been great successes over the last decades with you know, insurgent parties coming in. And you know, I say the name, and I apologise. You know, if you seem implicitly to be compared to it, UKIP. You know, they would argue they've been, you know, one of the greatest intellectual influencers on politics over the last few decades, because now they've made Brexit fashionable in a sense. They were banging on before it was cool. They were the Brexit hipsters in that sense. I mean, do you feel the Pirate Party, are they ahead of a curve in anything? Do you think your sort of ideas are being nicked by other people? Is there a magpie thing going on with other parties stealing what they like best?
Certainly we've seen quite a few of the, in the conversations we've had with, particularly with other candidates from other parties where we're standing and elsewhere actually, that go, actually, yeah, that's a really good policy. We ought to put that in place. And that's something that we've seen with, you know, the Greens and some of the elements of the Labour came out with a digital element to their manifesto at some point, which took a few of the policies that we're putting in place. But one of the things that we're saying is actually these are sufficiently important. They've not done that when they've had the chance in the past. So you know, vote for a party that will put that front and centre. And more importantly, has the expertise and the knowledge to do it the right way.
Yes. And obviously, because if there is a... you don't necessarily have to even win, as we know now, with sort of UKIP and Lib Dems and all the rest. Just a good result, you know, can get people go, what the hell is that party? I must research it and look up their policies. And there's a nice snowballing effect. Yeah. I mean, at the same point with the Young People's Party, I mean, do you feel you've made any headway recently, even just, you know, in the political weather, people talking more about young people now, thanks to you? Sort of, are they, what would you say has been happening for you guys?
Well, so I'm not sure any, you know, we can take any credit for the importance of the issues that are becoming more and more important. And this house ownership thing, it just bears spelling out that 30 years ago, you know, almost everyone could buy their own house. Okay, it was about 60%. There was a huge amount of council housing available for others that couldn't buy their own home. And the amount of people who were renting privately was very small. I mean, I think it dropped down to about 10% at its lowest. Now, less than 20% of young people, and by young, I think we're even saying under 35 and even under 40, which is... not necessarily that young, really, can't afford to buy their own homes. And this is not getting any better. It's not like housing is getting cheaper every day today. And so the topics that we're trying to bring to the forefront kind of are being brought to the forefront by just circumstance. I would say that the solution to those problems, while it has had you know, illustrious supporters in the past, definitely isn't as mainstream as it could, and we are doing our best to make it more so.
And so how's the campaign going in Epping Forest? I mean, is it sort of? I was trying to remember who is the incumbent MP.
Enola Lang, the deputy speaker. There we go. Yes. For the Conservative Party. She has been MP there for 20 years. It has never not been a Conservative seat in its entire history. And at the hustings, the message of reducing house prices by 60% went down like a lead balloon, really.
I mean, it's very brave of you then to tell it to them that way. You know, sort of, you need cheaper, sort of less wealth, you know, inherited.
No, we don't. We want more wealth. We just don't want.
But they're sitting on piles of cash or investments.
We don't see wealth being tied up in land, which has been there for billions of years, as a productive use of it. And we think that it cripples our economy competitively internationally, and I think it also screws young people out of their future. I mean, the message of low house prices actually should be a good one to everybody who doesn't own more than one house. Even if you own more than one house, there's a chance actually that, you know, you've probably got more than one child or whatever. So yes, people get scared by the headline of house prices falling, but actually it does benefit most people.
But then if I can ask, I know it's not terribly British to talk about money sort of, you know, at the dinner table or sort of otherwise, but people might be wondering, listening to, you know, the Young People's Party, the Pirate Party, how are you guys funded? Because the stereotype is, with the Conservatives, it's, you know, wealthy, sort of kindly businessmen, the city, and Labour is the unions, you know, and obviously they both have, you know, a bit of sort of rich, wealthy individuals. But
the answer is we're not really funded. I mean, we have membership fees of £12 a year, which currently gets you very little. We have had the odd nice little donation. I think we had one a couple of days ago where someone said, "Love your manifesto, here's 100 quid. Thanks very much. But broadly speaking, we don't really have any funding. And again, the really sad thing is that the people that really are our demographic are too busy working, paying rent, paying tax, to have any free time to think about this stuff or free money to lobby for policies to change.
And how about the Pirate Party? What's keeping the lights on in the HQ?
If only we were wealthy enough to have an HQ, as it were, rather than various individuals. As an online party, we've kind of, you know, we're doing a crowdfunder at the moment. Please go online and support us if you like what we're saying. And you know, we have, you know, people contribute in Bitcoin. It's been quite popular. Again, linking in with what we're saying on the digital side, but also we've got a fairly wide base of people. So yes, we do have quite a lot of, you know, someone on our head technological person's actually a 16-year-old currently doing his GCSEs. But from that, we also got people that have been in tech and IT for donkey's years. So we have a few people that have been in this election very generous to help support the party and help it go, you know, help us stand the 10 candidates that we are standing across the country.
So what, they're sort of similarly keen about digital rights and, you know, that's interesting. All right, well, thank you so much for running through these things. As a final question, obviously, just a bit of a, I was about to sort of ponder. Let's say, you know, given the election and politics is a fast-moving place, let's say that you were suddenly found yourselves in positions to, you know, really get in stuck in with, like, coalition negotiations in a hung parliament in that way. You know, you might think that may not have happened, you know, this week in this week's election, but let's be ambitious. You know, in 5 years' time, who knows, you know, momentum may build up. You know, I want to get these lines in the sand here. Young People's Party, what were your tactics? Where would you, what department would you be wanting to be involved with? What would be your price to being involved? Where would you want to be getting stuck in
we're
government?
We're a party campaigning for tax reform, so anything Treasury, finance, I guess, and any move to reduce taxation on economic output, VAT being probably our prime area.
Would you be keen, just as keen to work with Labour as the Conservatives?
We're not bothered. I mean, ultimately, I think our policy goals should meet the goals of all the parties, really, and that's greater prosperity and opportunity for all.
And then, Mark, what about the Pirate Party? Where would they...
So I think, you know, if I had a free choice, then it would be taking that area of expertise in the digital arena, in the internet and technology side. And ideally, something, you know, chairing something like the Technology Select Committee would be, if as a bank backbencher, one of the most influential places that one can be, I think.
Well, you've heard it here first, you know, sort of look out for sort of politics in, you know, 5-10 years' time. We shall have to see. Sort of, this may age very well as an interview, I'll have to say. Thank you very much, Mark Chapman from the Pirate Party, and Thomas Hall, the Young People's Party. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And so, this brings me to the end of the show, and all I just have to say is, you know, goodbye. Thank you very much for listening. As we look forward to the election with people, young people, thinking about whether Jeremy Corbyn will be the one who can, you know, save them from Tory government, or maybe there'll be some Tories who, you know, might sort of outfox them. We shall have to see. I think it's appropriate to end with a lovely song from Corbyn the Musical called You Needed a Hero, You Got Corbyn. And now, at least to say goodbye, tune in next week.
couldn't do it, they said I couldn't win. There'd never be a PM called Jeremy Corbyn. Now I am in power, the clouds will disappear. The sun shines on the righteous, hope will conquer fear. The world's in my hands, you'll sleep safe at night. Now you're with the left, we're getting it right. I didn't sell out, I didn't give in. You needed a hero, you got Corbyn. I've taken on big business, I'll super tax the banks. I've annulled the bedroom tax and cancelled all the tanks. I've no need.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.